Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi everyone, my name is Brianna Contreras and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In this week's episode, I spoke with Eve Gelb, Senior Vice President of Healthcare Services at Scan Health Plan. Eve and I mainly discussed the issue of vaccine mistrust among family caregivers and how it can result in leaving vulnerable seniors at risk. Hi Eve, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brianna. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for joining us on MHE's Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. We're happy to have you. So to get started, can you first just share, you know, what it is that you do and the mission of Scan Health Plan?
Sure. So Scan is a Medicare Advantage plan that also has a community agency. We're a not-for-profit organization. We've been around for over 45 years or so. We were founded by seniors for seniors. So there were these 12 angry seniors in Long Beach, California that couldn't get the kinds of services they needed to keep themselves out of nursing homes. And so they created an organization, and from that grew this plan. And we now serve about 220,000 members in California. And we, you know, we're only serve folks with Medicare and a few folks who also have Medicaid or Medi-Cal in California, who are known as duals. And so our mission is keeping all those folks that we serve healthy and independent, as well as the clients that we serve in the community, keeping them healthy, independent, aging in place, living well, aging well.
Wonderful. Thank you. And I'm sorry, did you share what you do at Scan?
Oh, yeah. So I am the Senior Vice President for Member and Community Health. So I oversee our member-facing healthcare quality of life-related activities, as well as our community agency and the work that it does to keep seniors healthy and independent in the community.
Wonderful. Now, I know you mentioned the number of folks that Scan covers or Scan, you know, takes care of, but also, did you mention that, is it only California residents or is this way beyond?
So right now it's only California, but we do work nationally with a lot of other organizations to set the policy to work to improve the lives of seniors across the board. And we are growing and expanding. So excited to come to other places soon.
Wonderful. Glad to hear. So to get started, we really, you know, our discussion today is about Scan's recent survey that was released, which is called Vaccine Mistrust Among Family Caregivers Puts Vulnerable Seniors at Risk. So can you explain, you know, why this study was conducted and a bit about its background?
Yeah, so working with older adults, one really key stakeholder population is the caregiver. And by caregiver here, we're meaning the non-paid family member or neighbor or loved one who's caring for an older adult. There are lots of caregivers. Many caregivers care for younger children, younger disabled folks, but here we're talking about the folks who care for older adults. And their behavior and their well-being is super important to the well-being of an older adult. So caregivers who don't take care of themselves can't be there for their older adults who need them. Caregivers are often influencers in how older adults get their care. So for us, it was really important to understand from a caregiver perspective, both what caregivers need in order to take care of themselves, as well as what they need in order to take care of their older adult loved ones.
Right. Thank you. Now, some of the highlights found in this survey, I guess just to get right to it, It was found that 63% of family caregivers who do have doubts about the COVID-19 vaccine safety, they say that they'll take the senior under their care to get vaccinated. So I guess them taking the senior under their own care, is this benefiting the senior?
Yeah, so, you know, that's super great news because even if I'm hesitant about the vaccine, the fact that I recognize that my older adult loved one needs the vaccine and would benefit from it is a good thing. However, you know, it does concern me that those caregivers are not taking care of themselves, right? So in order for this ecosystem to work, folks have to take care of their older adult loved one, and they also have to take care of themselves. So I'm heartened to hear that even though they might have hesitancy, they're interested, they're making sure that their loved ones get needed care. But I'm also disheartened that they might not be caring for themselves, and that some of that hesitancy might be also impacting the older adults' ability to get the vaccine.
Right, thank you. And I just realized I probably worded that question a bit wrong. So that is definitely a positive thing that, you know, there are caregivers out there who are willing to, you know, get their seniors or have their loved ones get vaccinated. But unfortunately, again, there are either those caregivers who aren't or caregivers who, you know, aren't getting it themselves or aren't getting it to their seniors. So that's the unfortunate part, which is another thing I wanted to jump in, was that in the survey, it was also found that 13% of Hispanic caregivers and about 25% of Black caregivers don't plan to take a senior under their care to get vaccinated. It was also found that nearly half of American family caregivers would either delay or refuse a COVID-19 vaccine when it was offered to them. So what is the cause of some of these decisions, and, you know, why is it a concern to their seniors?
Yeah, so I think taking the first part about, you know, Latinx and African-American or Black caregivers, you know, their situations are often much more complex, whether it be for language issues, cultural issues, and I think also, you know, whether they're Black or Latinx or just, you know, or low income, I think there are barriers to getting your loved one vaccinated. Things like being able to take time off of work, right? So, you know, some of that is probably due to the fact that they just don't have they don't live in a circumstance that allows them to take that time and to get their loved one vaccinated. I think the just general hesitancy, or, you know, I like to think of it more about lack of trust, because there's a reason that folks are hesitant to take the vaccine, and rather putting it on them, we should put it on us. Like, how have we engendered the right trust to make sure that people understand what is a good thing, what is an important thing versus what might be, you know, what might be something that would be harmful. And for the vaccine, it has been tested more than other vaccines have been tested in more types of populations. I just think we have not done a really great job of communicating that in a way that matters to the people who really need to engage to get the vaccine.
Right. Thank you. Now, obviously, that just takes more education and, you know, community outreach, or just more outreach or communication to more people who that concerns, correct?
Yeah, I think communication and outreach is important. I think communication and outreach by trusted sources, though, is more important, right? And so a lot of times this is, you know, different as to who that individual is going to trust. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we can't necessarily generalize to say that, you know, well, Latinx population is going to trust this kind of person or, you know, right. So I think the most important thing is to get as many people talking about it, because that's how we're going to ensure that somebody that they trust has the right information to help influence their behavior.
Right. Thank you. Now, back to the subject of barriers, this kind of connects to one of the survey results.
and data collected, it was found that nearly one in three family caregivers who live in rural communities say they won't take the older adult under their care to get the COVID vaccine. It's also stated, you know, in the survey that that's nearly double the refusal rate of urban and suburban caregivers. So other than trust and further education on COVID-19 vaccines, what do you think it'll take for more people to be on board? I know you mentioned, again, barriers as in, you know, people depending on where they live, you know, maybe they can't access it. But again, I'm sorry. What do you think it'll take just for more people to get on board, especially in these areas?
So I think rural communities are a particular point where we need to focus more. A lot of attention has been paid to African-American communities, to Latinx communities, but I think it's been really urban focused and suburban focused. Yeah. You know, rural communities have their own issues, including geographic barriers, just paucity of resources where there aren't, you know, there's not a CVS on every corner or a large site where folks can come to be vaccinated, you know, a Dodger Stadium or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I think there are logistic issues with respect to rural communities. And I think that feeds hesitancy in that, you know, people become less hesitant to take the vaccine when they've seen other people have the vaccine, right? And so when you see a huge line at a big stadium of people getting the vaccine and you live in that community, you say, oh, well, maybe I should do that as well. We don't have that in rural communities. We don't have those large scale efforts. So I think geographic barriers, I think the lack of focus on the rural needs, and I think the general lack of access to services in rural communities are all things that are contributing to that, as well as, frankly, you know, people who live in rural communities, you know, maybe they have a more independent mind, you know, frame of mind, and right. Might have a different philosophy about, you know, how to make decisions about their own health.
Wonderful, thank you. So you kind of actually touched base on a number of my questions, just between, you know, access and maybe some of the reasons why people aren't they are mistrusting of the vaccines because they're not seeing others get it, or, you know, something like that. So thank you for touching base on that. I did want to know if there were, you know, maybe more highlights as a part of this study that you'd like to share, or just any further information about, you know, getting folks on board with getting vaccinated.
I wanted to emphasize that caregivers are the cornerstone to healthy older adults. And I think that, you know, the one message we want to get across is that we need to focus on those caregivers being able to take care of themselves and being able to get access to the vaccine, and also being able to be motivated to get the vaccine, which is why it's really important to ensure that the right folks are getting the messaging out to them, right, as well as that there is access. Because the point about rural communities and access to health resources is absolutely right on. When you have a bunch of folks who have COVID because they've been exposed or they haven't been vaccinated, a rural community hospital is going to be overwhelmed way faster than a large urban hospital. And so the resources that are available to rural communities really are depending on the fact that more people are going to get vaccinated, that more people are going to stay healthy. They are at much higher risk than large urban centers, you know, when folks have cases. So I think that point of the needs of the rural community is absolutely right on.
Oh, certainly. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that.
I think trust is a super important aspect of what we're trying to engender here. And one of the main reasons we wanted to do this survey was to help people understand that the inequities and the system that has come before us has engendered mistrust. And in order to solve for that, in order to build the trust, we have to listen to people. We have to understand their history, their version of history. We have to have empathy, which means that not only are we listening, but we're caring about what they're saying when we're listening. And that's going to motivate us to actually do something to improve the situation and to engender trust. Folks know when you care and when you don't. And, you know, we at SCAN care. I think there are a lot of providers in the community that care. And we just need to be there for all the populations, not just the ones that are easy to serve, but the ones who really need us the most.
Of course. And that it definitely starts, you know, with those populations. I think that's the biggest priority.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what's important for us all to remember is that those populations are made up of individuals who each have their own stories, and being a caregiver is hard. And, you know, what I would just do is encourage everybody who is a caregiver to practice some self-care and self-love, and to go that extra step to explain to others what's going on with them, because we will listen. And if we can listen, we can solve the problems.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.